Are the days, the minutes, and the hours of the wristwatch numbered? With more people relying on cell phones instead of Seikos to get the current time, some are afraid the wristwatch is going the way of the pocket watch. To mark the shift, and to give treasured old timepieces a dignified place to retire, some Boston architects have created what they call the 1,000 Watch Project. WBUR's Andrea Shea explains.
Think for a second about the watches in your life. Are you remembering your grandmother's Cartier, a friend's Mickey Mouse watch, that reliable Timex you received at graduation? For architect Keith Mosco, a plastic brand name watch he bought in Switzerland in the 80s comes to mind.
It was a clear swatch where you could see all the workings. I wore it so long it turned yellow. I got a black band, and I never could throw it out.
A few years ago, some of Mosco's colleagues at his Boston firm, Mosco Lynn, also fessed up to hoarding old watches in sock drawers and dusty jewel cases. So they put out a communal box to collect their forgotten timepieces.
And we brought in the wristwatches and we stuck them in the box. And then we said, well, wait a second, let's put name tags on them, or epitaph tags, because in a sense, it's rest in peace.
Quite literally, in fact, for Mosco's design partner, Robert Lynn.
About the time we had started collecting, my dad died, and so the watch that he wore for all the years we lived together was watch number one.
The epitaph tag on the old Seiko reads, "Watch from Josh Lynn, kept in drawer by side of bed."
He took it off every night and put it back on every morning.
That simple daily routine, Lynn says, demonstrates an intimate connection between people and wristwatches. They touch our skin. They're most always with us. They symbolize moments in our lives. As the collection grew, the architects set the goal of gathering 1,000 watches, soliciting donations online for their 1,000 Watch Project. Soon, packages arrived with letters, sometimes even eulogies, 500 so far. Some epitaphs are less than nostalgic.
Here's one, Swiss Army Reliability My Ass, signed Major Lance Lindell. I guess it didn't work.
The hundreds of tagged watches on display here don't work anymore either. Casios, fake Rolexes, a Superman watch sent by a second-grade school teacher in Wisconsin, and a chunky diver's watch that traveled here from Australia.
It was a part of me for 30 years. It was a bit sad to see it go, really.
49-year-old Shane Hughes sent his watch from Newcastle, Australia. Here's what he wrote in his letter.
I bought this watch when I was a young backpacker in Europe, so we'd been through most of life's experiences together. I couldn't bear the thought of my watch ending up on a rubbish tip somewhere, and I thought your project would bring its usefulness as a timepiece to a dignified end. So the epitaph will simply read, R.I.P., you'll always remind me of my youth.
But for today's youth, this sound doesn't mean much, says 1,000 Watch Project founder Keith Mosco.
My kids who are teenagers do not wear wristwatches. Our employees in the office who are in their 20s do not wear wristwatches. So in a sense, it almost marks a period in time where we're going from wearing wristwatches to not wearing them at all.
I myself own two watches.
26-year-old Ben Clymer insists he and his 20-something friends do wear watches.
One on by my grandfather on my mother's side. He gave it to me for my 16th birthday, and I also own a watch from my grandfather on my father's side that was actually given to him on his 30th anniversary at Bell Labs.
Clymer runs Hodinkee, a blog about wristwatches from all over the world, and he says he supports the Boston-based watch project. Once the collection reaches 1,000, it will be packed in a pine box and sent to the Smithsonian. Each watch is also part of an online photo gallery where donors and anyone else can visit and pay their respects. For WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.